This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by Squarespace at squarespace.com. Make a website wonderfully with tools and systems that are easy for you to use. Go try Squarespace's free trial. And if you decide to stay, use the code MORNING at checkout for 10% off your order. That's squarespace.com and the offer code MORNING. All right, Brian, I'm doing it.
All right. Okay.
There's no turning back. Coming up on TMS, Concrud.
Down and back.
Not tonight. I'm watching Netflix.
No Hulk in Civil War.
Boyle spotting more trains.
Cats don't need us.
Jury duty.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
In this film, you will see the ease with which this vicious plant can be grown in your neighbor's yard, rolled into harmless-looking cigarettes, hidden in an innocent shoe or watch case.
If you want a good smoke, try one of these.
You will meet Bill, who once took pride in his strong will as he takes the first step toward enslavement.
The Morning Stream.
The world of tomorrow, today. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream, TMS, the triumphant return for Tuesday, September 8th, 2015. I'm Scott Johnson. That's the ill Brian Ibbett.
Hello, it
Brian.
Is. I am.
Yeah, you're what? Okay, you always give me the percentages. Last night you said 50-50. How are you doing now?
I feel like I'm at a solid 65%.
That's not bad.
Yeah, I think 60% is probably the minimum for TMS. Maybe 50%.
Yeah, half and half, maybe. I mean, that's pushing it. But when we were going to do a show Monday, and then when you told me in the morning how sick you felt, I'm guessing you were at like, what, 15 or 20?
Oh God, yeah, probably like it 10. It was bad yesterday morning.
Yeah, so
because I didn't sleep well, according to my sleep number bed, which tells you how well you slept.
Yeah,
I rated a 33 out of 100.
Whoa, that's not good.
No, it's not.
That seems low.
I wonder what he did last night. Actually, out of curiosity, because last night was NyQuil.
Oh, good. That's always a good thing.
Let's see where. Let's see where last night firmly planted me in the.
That thing's like hard narcotic for me when I take it. Just about knocks me out for days, that stuff.
But do you wake up at like 4 o'clock in the morning, like wide awake?
Nope, I don't. I wake up groggy and slow when I take that stuff. It's been forever since I've taken it, but
82. I got an 82 last night.
That's pretty good. That's all right.
An average heart rate of 59 beats per minute and an average breathing rate of 14 breaths per minute.
Did it tell you? That seems like not very many breaths per minute, doesn't it?
14?
Per minute?
Per minute. It's 60 seconds. So 16 divided by 14, that's like a breath every 4 seconds.
Okay, let me think. Yeah, I guess that's all right for sleeping.
It's not counting like in, out. It's combining the in and out.
Oh, it's okay. I got it. That's on the secret menu. You have to ask for it at the drive up.
You do. Yes, exactly. Yeah, in and out animal style.
It's really good. All right. And when you have a cold like this, like clearly you've gotten the viral equivalent of whatever. You know, horrible con thing people get at cons.
Right.
Does that affect how you can wear your Darth Vader mask, or how's that work with that?
It does, and I think that was probably part of the problem on Sunday night, because when I'm congested, I can only breathe out of my mouth. So having that Darth Vader mask, having the, it should be the Morton Joe mask is what we should call it.
I agree. You just need some grinning teeth on it and everything will be fine.
Exactly.
Sure.
Bill Duran, get on turning that thing into an Morton Joe cosplay. That'll be the great thing to wake my wife up with.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter having that thing on my nose if I can't breathe through my nose. So,
honey, help me get up. I need to pee. And if you do, you'll meet me at the gates of Valhalla.
That's how that'll go.
See, there you go.
I already made you choke. All right, great. Watch that movie again, by the way, the other night.
I'm going to very soon because it just arrived on Blu-ray.
Oh, good. That's where I got as well. Now, I have the distinct feeling when I got that Blu-ray copy, we picked ours up at a Target here in the States. It's a fancy store for all those friends overseas called Target.
Fancy.
Yeah, it's got a big, there's like a big circle with another circle and then a dot in the middle of it. That's how you know you're at the Target. Right. Anyway, so we picked it up there because they came with a comic book.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's okay. It's fine.
Is it?
It's little.
Is it this one? Oh, so it's
not. It's a little teeny one. Well, teeny.
It's
in
not
the,
this one from Vertigo.
No, different. No, no, not that. I do want that, though. Okay. Oh, look at you picking up that.
That came with Nerd Block.
Oh, I should have gotten Nerd Block.
Yeah.
Maybe I had Nerd Block by not getting Nerd Block. Anyway. So it came with a little comic. We whipped it out. We watched it. It was fantastic. And I'm reminded that that is the greatest movie in the last 10 years. And I know I've said that enough and I won't say it anymore. I just want people to know that it holds up. You know, I was unsure after my theater viewings, how would this go at home on a smaller television, you know, with, you know, right. decent sound and everything.
It sure.
completely, entirely, and 100% is the greatest thing ever.
Now, I did pick up the 3D version. I have to, we've got the 3D TV yep. and the PlayStation 4, which handles it. Somebody, probably one of, I'm going to blame it on one of Tristan's friends, lost our TV remote.
No!
I don't know what happened with it. Well, I'm going to blame, it's so easy to blame one of Tristan's friends.
Well, the problem with that is the universal remotes don't all have the 3D setting stuff on
That's
them.
That's right, exactly. Oh, no. Like, hey, volume change, channel change, no problem, piece of cake. But that is the one thing that we needed that remote for. We can turn the TV off with the other remotes. We can do everything else with the other remotes. Yeah. But there's a little 3D button. It looks like a little 3D cube. Mm-hmm. You press that and it says, oh, would you like to watch TV in 3D?
Wow. Yeah. So you, all that trouble to get the 3D version and boom.
We'll find it. I'm sure we'll find it. And if not, I'm sure that whatever the company is will sell us a new one.
All
happily.
Right. Down at on the next episode of Pawn Stars. How much can That's I right. get for this remote? Exactly. Well, great. So what was my whole point with telling you that? Oh, that we've both been gone. We both had experiences. It was my anniversary. Technically, it was a week ago, but we had another wedding in the family. So we went to that and said we're pushing our celebrations off a week. So we celebrated our anniversary this weekend while you were in Atlanta for Dragon Con. Mm-hmm. And I was going to do this game this morning where everyone got to vote on either Brian's fuelless airplane or or worst couple in movie theater history and let people decide. But I've decided because the fuel thing actually sounds like a living nightmare to me. I want to hear yours first.
Well, I think I was going to say, there's no reason we can't do both. Daryl's skills be damned. You can wait.
Yeah, wait, you bastard. You'll be fine.
And I'll get through. I've got four things I'm going to tell you really quick about Dragon Con, and then I'll be done with it, and then we can move on.
All right, I'm into it. Go.
All right, so flight. Get on the flight, which incidentally left half an hour late thanks to there being some delays with the equipment. They sent us to one gate, and then that gate immediately sent us to another gate, a third gate. Here's where your plane's actually going to be, people. You wow. need to go to that gate.
And in that airport, was it a long... Did you have to get back on the little tram
no,
thing?
They okay. were all on the same. They were all in the same terminal.
All right.
So we hopped on the plane, yeah. started flying to Atlanta, and they've got Wi-Fi on Southwest Airlines.
Whoa.
And there's a couple of choices. You've got free Wi-Fi, which actually lets you, this is so cool, lets you listen to Apple's hundreds and hundreds of varieties of radio stations from Apple Music mm-hmm. For free. You don't need to pay a dime, and you can listen to
it's like a little arrangement. They have some arrangement with them, it sounds like.
Exactly. Okay. And it's great stuff. And you watch it or you listen to it through whatever device you've got. So if you brought an iPad, an iPhone, I imagine, you know, it'll still work with Android devices because you access it through a browser.
Yeah, and Android's getting Apple Music in like a month, so or not even that, like any right. time now, like natively, so sure. That thing's going to be, they're going to push that to be like the ubiquitous everywhere, get it everywhere. Kind of like Spotify, they want to be
as
everywhere.
It should be. Yeah, it's really, really well done. Yeah. So I'm on, but I actually paid extra for the Wi-Fi. So I'm on Wi-Fi and I'm on Slack with the rest of the wedding team, the jury... Paramore, you know, the Ashley Paramore jury wedding.
Yes.
Slack team.
Yeah.
And we're chatting back and forth and I'm saying, hey, I'm on the flight, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, a couple of other people are doing the same thing from their phones. And one of them says, oh, huge storm now coming over Atlanta. I think it might've been Tom Merritt, who was already in Atlanta when all this was going on.
Yeah, he got there early. He was lonely.
Oh, poor guy. so yeah, he's like, yeah, huge storm over Atlanta. Wow. And it's, you know, it's coming down like cats and dogs out here. And that's when we hear them announce it over the speaker, like, all right, well, we're coming into some huge storm weather in Atlanta, but, they've got us in a, pattern, you know, where we're going to be, 18th to land or something like that as soon as a runway frees up or blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. It's like, great, okay.
It's the air equivalent to like a traffic jam in a freeway.
Pretty much, yeah. It's almost like one of those traffic circles, and you're waiting for there to be an opening on one of the outgoing streets that comes off of a traffic circle.
Yep, and it's like John McClane's wife and that redheaded jerk are on the plane just circling in Die Hard 2. Yep.
Yes, it's true. This man has no deck. So that's what they basically put us in, like a circling. We're circling on one side of Atlantic because, I mean, the storm is so huge to circle the storm would be kind of crazy. But they've got us on one side of it circling and waiting for an opening. And after about 45 minutes of circling, they say, we're going to go ahead and just go to Greenville, South Carolina and refuel. And then we're going to try again.
The hometown of Brian Dunaway.
That's right. He was basically, you know, when I messaged him and said, hey, we're in Greenville now, he said, oh, it's about an hour away from my house. I said, can I pick you up anything?
Yeah, some fuel for our plane.
That's right.
Jeez.
So he was already, you know, if he was still at home and hadn't driven in yet, I would have said, psh, let me out here. I'll just ride in with Brian Dunaway. But he was already there.
Sure.
So we land, we fuel up. But we still have to wait until Atlanta gives us the go-ahead to take off again because they're not going to send us up in the air just to have us circle again.
Burn a bunch of fuel and then have to land somewhere again, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So because of that, it wasn't like they could let us out of the airplane into the terminal. We had to stay on the plane in our seats.
Ugh.
And what was originally billed as a 2-hour-and-55-minute flight turned into 6 hours and 45 minutes on that plane.
Oh my gosh. You could have gone to France.
I could have gone anywhere.
Oh, that sucks.
6 hours, 45 minutes.
And you're eating nothing but peanuts and some lady's lipstick or something?
Not even that. So like they gave us peanuts and Ritz chips early on and they never came around to offer like if we wanted more. So I'm freaking starving. And it takes a lot of food to power this body.
Right. No, I understand. Right? You need, dude.
I need sustenance.
Yes. Anything will do.
So by the time I got off the plane, it's me and Gnomewise in the airport. And I'm like, do you want to grab something in the airport? I'm like, well, we're like 20 minutes away from downtown Atlanta. Let's just go downtown. I'm like, all right, let's go do it.
Yeah.
So we hop in an Uber. My first ever Uber ride.
Oh, first Uber. Cool.
First Uber. And holy crap, if the taxi system, you know, instead of fighting Uber, would just say, wow, they've got some really cool technology. Let's put that in ours. Like when you order an Uber, and I know I'm coming late to the game here, but you pop open the app and say, I need an Uber. You actually see, it's like a little cartoon. It's the top-down Grand Theft Auto 1.
Yeah.
Top-down view, and you see the car that's going to be picking you up, driving towards you,
what
the driver looks like, what their car looks like.
Beat up a hooker and steal two other cars on the way, but yeah.
Exactly, right.
Yeah.
Holy crap, that's the easiest thing in the world.
It is. And, it is. There's a reason why that thing is so disruptive to the industry, because it really is easy. It really is kind of rad. You know, say what you want about some of the corporate practices of Uber internally. They've got some issues that I don't necessarily love, but the actual service is pretty amazing, and there's a great South Park episode I watched over the weekend where they address this very thing. And you know those South Park guys. They're all about, like, kind of truth in the most sardonic way possible. Mm-hmm. And they have the story's all about those retarded kids in the town. And I say that because that's what the show calls them, everyone. You can get mad if you want, but I'm just repeating what they said on South Park, okay? So don't get mad at me. Get mad at Comedy Central. But they have this way of making them more capable and smart than people who are not handicapped. That's just kind of the South Park way. But anyway, it's really funny because it's the two mobster kids that are handicapped because they're always trying to do some deal. And Mimsy is this like big, it's kind of like, what do you want me to do next, boss, or whatever? Kind of like that kind of guy, like a big henchman. And the henchman's always got these wisdom things to say. So they're trying to take Timmy. Sorry, I'm going to hurry with this. Timmy has a little thing called Handy Car. And he drives around, and it's all just an Uber joke, right? But he picks people up in his little thing and says, Timmy! And then drives off into the thing. And he's making millions of dollars for his summer camp. That's the whole thing. So these other kids want to take him down that are also trying to get to summer camp, these other handicapped kids. And this one kid says, they're in a really gross cab with this disgusting Russian driver, and everything's terrible. It smells like puke in there. And they're just like, it's the worst experience ever. And it's costing him way too much money. And he says, gee, I don't know, boss. Why don't cab companies just try to figure out how to have better service, cleaner cabs, and treat people nicer? And he's like, you're not, you know, and they're all like, well, he's handicapped. Don't pay attention to him. But he's telling the truth.
It's so true.
The cab industry would be completely turned around if they would just compete on that level and quit trying to just shut it down out of, like, you know, just rules and stuff. Anyway, sorry. Right. I feel real strongly about that. So you brought it
it's
up.
So true. It's so accurate. By the way, people, if you have not used Uber yet, here's a promo code. Brian I, B-R-I-A-N-I, 403 U-E, all lowercase, although it probably doesn't matter. Use that and you'll get a free Uber ride. Your first Uber ride's free.
Oh,
thanks
cool.
to.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so do that. Do like that, and then I get a free ride too.
Clean Honda with a nice lady. Anyway, go ahead.
That's right. So we get downtown, and we go for food, and I'm instantly reminded about one of the things that I always forget about at Dragon Con, is that the Hilton elevators, and I'm sure all the elevators at all of the hotels are like this, they are just nuts, because you've got all these people who are trying to get up to their room, get their cosplay, go back down, find a Deadpool, go back up, find a Batman, pink Batman, whatever, and then back down. So when you come to an elevator bank, you hit both buttons. You hit up and down.
Sure.
And you take whatever comes if there's room on that elevator.
Yeah, there's no other way to do it. It's like the Hilton, and if you've been to BlizzCon, it's like the Hilton on Saturday night in the
Yeah, I'll bet just like that.
It's terrible. Yeah, it's terrible.
And that's probably, I'm sure somebody on one of those elevators probably is the one who had the con crud that I caught, because you're packed in there. I mean, you are breathing their air. You are practically impregnating them.
Yeah, you're basically, you're making out with them and giving them your DNA. There's no other way to put it. Yeah, it's gross.
Now, Saturday.
Imagine if one of those got stuck, Brian.
Oh, geez.
Just think about what that would be.
And you're all supported. Like, basically, you're in there. You could lift up your feet and not fall to the ground because you're basically supported by the people around you.
Oh, that's so. I'm full of anxiety right now just thinking about an elevator full of cosplayed sweaty people in Atlanta. Anyway, so
on one of the rides, though, like if you go in the middle of the day, like while there are panels and things going on, you'll have a better chance.
Sure.
And so during the middle of the day on Saturday, I'm heading back down from the room. I dropped some stuff off at the room, and then went back down to go moderate a panel or get ready for the wedding or whatever. And I come into the elevator banks for my floor, and there's a dude dressed who's cosplaying as a monk. Now, I didn't ask him what his costume was based on, if it's like an Adult Swim cartoon or something. But he's basically dressed as a monk, has monk robes, and then roped to him is an anatomically correct blow-up doll.
Oh.
Now, behind me, I've got a blow-up doll right here in the studio.
Yeah, there it is.
And, but it's, you know, it's not, it's a gimmick blow-up doll. It's a novelty blow-up doll. This one
was the real deal.
Had orifices, you know, and basically was anatomically correct.
You could
put half a bag of M&Ms in her mouth if you wanted to.
Okay, I understand. Yeah, I see where you're at.
Okay. Let's just go with that.
Wait, no, when you're talking about the monk, kind of Friar Tuck style, right?
Kind of Friar Tuck style.
Okay.
With a blow up doll roped to him, like basically, it's like they're sharing one belt.
Okay.
But she's facing forward. He's basically they're facing the same way, like they're on a bus.
Okay. Like they're spooning in a way, but standing.
That's right. Okay. Spoon, exactly.
All right.
So I said, that's great. That's the, you know, I said something like, oh, that's something you don't see every day, blah, blah, blah. He's like, oh, yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
And we hit the up and down buttons on the elevator. Elevator opens up, and it's a guy, his wife, and his two small children.
They just came walking in, like, faced with. He's facing out of the elevator, this guy with the Friar Tuck business?
He's in the elevator banks with me. So, like, he's basically, we're waiting for the elevators. I'm waiting for the elevator with Friar Tuck.
Okay.
With Trier. and the elevator opens up, and on the elevator is this guy and his wife and his two kids.
Okay.
Friar Tuck immediately spins around and backs into the elevator. Like, positions himself so that basically he's mashing blow up doll woman against the side of the wall.
Amazing.
Against the side of the elevator.
Amazing. Please tell me she popped or leaked or something.
No, okay. But we're just kind of cracking up like, yeah, well done. Nice job.
Yeah. That's really funny, dude. I would have died laughing. That would have been
just the worst possible people to be on that elevator. The right age for them to be like, Daddy, what's that?
What's that?
And last little story. This will be really quick. There's a Irish pub right by all the host hotels for Dragon Con.
Yes, that's where all the Irish people went when they came to America. They went straight to Atlanta, Georgia.
That's right. Ghibli's is the place. Okay. And I went there with Gnomewise Hero Prote from the Tadpool.
Yeah.
And Brian Dunaway's friend, Alan. Brian Dunaway called it a night early that night. I think it was Thursday night.
Yeah.
And we walk in there and we see Chief Terrell from Battlestar Galactica. Yeah. And he's doing some sort of like...
Aaron Douglas, by the way, everyone.
Aaron Douglas, very good, yes.
Yeah, he's great.
And he's doing some sort of like charity thing where he's like, all right, and we're, you know, pay money, we'll do a raffle, we're going to give away some signed stuff and blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh, how cool he's doing that. So we grab a table in the center of the bar. And as we're sitting there, who walks by us but Edward James Olmos.
Oh, wow.
And we go, hey, Edward James Olmos. And he turns and looks at us and is like, hi, boys, and then walks out.
Mendoza from the West Wing, by the way.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then who follows him is a freshly bearded Jamie Bamber, who played Apollo.
Wow. All right. He's British. So is he kept his accent, I'm guessing. Did he say anything to you? Like, hello?
He didn't say anything to us.
All right.
And then finally, the last guy was, and I can't remember his name, it was Starbucks' boyfriend who played Pyramid.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
James something. I know who you mean. Yeah.
Right. Not James with the...
Yeah, not James, Crazy James, The not the Cylon leader
with the
man.
The jaw, right, with the, you know, the massive jaw, but the other guy.
The other guy, right. I know who
yes.
you mean. That's
and
cool.
He walked by us, and he actually talked to us for, like as he was walking by, hey, guys, hope you're having a good night tonight, man. Hey, good to see you, and walked out.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, they were there for some kind of reunion kind of deal or something.
Apparently so, yeah. And we were like, oh, we were sitting there saying, come on, where's blonde, well, I can't remember her name.
Katie Sackhoff?
Katie Sackhoff would have been great to see, or the tall blonde who played the Cylon.
Six. What's her name? Her real name. Anyway,
exactly.
Her.
Anyway, yeah. Her would have been, she would have been great.
She was there.
Yeah, Boomer.
There's pictures of her and Boomer hanging out with all those guys, so I think they were all there.
Damn. Yeah. Oh, it was the 10-year reunion, says Dice Tomatoes.
Oh,
so
that's why.
Explains why.
That's why. That makes sense. No Katie Sackhoff, though. I didn't see her anywhere.
Huh.
In the pictures, I mean. I followed some of that stuff, just trying to...
Trisha Helfer, thank you.
There you go. She's Sarah Kerrigan in the StarCraft movie games. She plays the voice of that. Yeah, yeah. And we're in Heroes. If you're playing her in Heroes, she's the one going, I follow the... Or whatever she's saying all the time.
She does the voice. That's so cool.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right, tell me your movie story.
Brian, you thought you were the guy who went to a movie theater and were screwed every time by something.
Yeah, exactly. It's always something.
Something happened in Nerdtacular. We hugged once, and as we walked away, you started having the weird people experiences, and I inherited your movie problem.
That's
because
did we transfer it? Was that it?
Kinda. So Kim and I are celebrating our anniversary, and we're kind of out of town for most of the weekend. Although we had to come back and do a NVIDIA thing, and then go back out. But on Saturday night or Friday night, I guess, we were at a movie theater downtown, and we went and saw Ant-Man finally. It's like, yeah, Ant-Man's still in theaters. This is going to be almost empty because it's like 2 months out, you know.
I didn't realize you hadn't seen it yet. Wow.
I still hadn't seen it. So I was like, well, let's get our butts into there to see Ant-Man. By the way, loved it. Thought it was great. Really, really enjoyed Ant-Man.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really have a bad thing to say about it. It had the right tone. If this is how Marvel wants to make movies about their weirder characters that are kind of harder to make cinematic, they're on the right track. It's really good. It was really, really fun. And man, that technology to make what's his name look younger was insane. Holy crap. I can't believe how good that looked. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm in there, right? And as we're sitting and waiting, we get perfect little seats kind of down close to the middle front. There's the path in front of us where people can kind of come in. And the place is filling up. I'm kind of surprised. There's probably, it's a big theater, but there's probably like 30 people in there. Okay. Not too many, not too few. 30 people.
Just, you know, good, small enough audience that, that you'll get, you know, you'll kind of have some laughter going on around you,
sure.
But not so small you feel like, wow, we picked the most abandoned movie in the theater.
Yeah, exactly. So we're feeling good about that. And in walks, and this is all fine so far, in walks what looks to be like a 19 to 20, somewhere between 19 and 24 is the age range, African-American guy pushing a wheelchair that has in it a 55 to 60-year-old, very large woman.
Okay.
Who appears to be handicapped, I assume, because she's in a wheelchair. And they come in, and that's fine. I'm thinking, oh, look at this. This is very lovely. This guy's pushing her in and takes her in and puts, and they sit in the seats just right in the row behind us. Now, what the weird bit was that when they parked it up there, she just got up and walked out of that thing like she was just fine. So I don't know what her problem actually is, but maybe one of those deals where there's a little, you know what I'm talking about. Some people are kind of milking it a little bit.
Right.
But I don't know anything else about it. I just see that happen. That's fine. And she even kind of cracked me up because right then they were showing a preview that said, turn off your cell phones and look for exits in case of, you know, they're doing that little PSA thing. Yeah. And she goes, if you hear a fire, and then I hear her in the back go, get the hell out or something. And I laughed. I thought, oh, that's funny. She's funny. She's kind of a hoot. But, man, it'll be great when we're watching this movie because everyone will be quiet and we'll all just be watching the movie quietly and I'll be enjoying this film. So they sit down. And here is what happens for the next however long that movie is, 2 hours or whatever. Every time anybody in the movie said anything that was short and to the point, so if it was like, we've got to get those plans back, let's say that that's the phrase.
Right.
This black guy would go, we got to get these plans back. And then another line would come on where they go, it's the ant particle, or what's the particle called? What's it called?
Pym particles.
The Pym, this Pym particle is kind of a big deal when Flattery was saying that. And he'd go, Pym particle, like this, and slap his hands again.
And clapping his
hands. Yeah. Every time anything was said, it's like, no, we've got to go now. We got to go now! super loud. And my wife, whose hand I'm holding, would tense up. Every time I could feel her body go rigid, like she just wants to get up and kill somebody.
Fuming. Yeah.
And I'm to the point now where it's about 20 minutes in and I realize, no, we're not done. He's going to go the whole movie this.
This is not going to stop.
And suddenly my whole attitude has changed. I'm into it. I am now anticipating when I think he's going to say something and it's a game for me and I'm enjoying. Really? Yeah. That's kind of enjoying it. So I'll hear something happen and like, Scott, what's his name? What's the character's name? Scott something.
The character. Ant-Man. Scott Lang.
Lang. So Scott Lang would come out and go, I know I can make it through the keyhole. Make it through the keyhole, he'd yell. And I'd say, okay, I think he's going to do it on this one. And I go, honey, listen to this. And she would, and then what's her name? Kate from Lost would say something. And he would repeat it. And he would keep doing it. And I'm not kidding. Every other sentence, he's repeating it out loud at the top of his lungs and then clapping his hands. So clearly there's something wrong. All right.
It's not just he's enjoying the movie.
Yeah. He's on a scale or something. I don't know whose scale or what you want to call it. I am no expert, but it's not normal public behavior to be barking that stuff out every time something
happens.
Was he
getting the look from other people around?
Everybody else. And there's no way people, even the top rafter guys, there's no way they didn't hear this dude doing this.
Yeah.
So loud. Like there is no quiet voice with him. Well, here's the worst part. The lady sitting next to him, and they're clearly together at this point. Every time he'd yell it, she'd go, shh, quiet, shh, quiet. And then he'd do it again, and shh, quiet, like that. And then at some point, there was some joke about boobs. I don't remember what the deal was.
Okay.
There was something about boobs. I don't remember what the context was, but he goes, ah-ha, boobs, like this. And then he reaches over to her and goes, and I happen to be looking back right at this moment, over to her and goes, that makes me want to play with your boobs. He starts like, they start getting it on in the theater. This young, maybe early 20s black guy and this late 60s or late 50s, early 60s white lady in a wheelchair, or was in a wheelchair. And she goes, not in here, not in here. And I'm like, not anywhere, dude, not anywhere. And the whole movie was like this. And Kim, I could tell, was just fuming because she can't stand it. I'm actually laughing really hard at this point because it didn't matter what it was, anything that was remotely funny, not intended to be funny, it didn't matter what it was, like even if it wasn't something to repeat, he gets sucked down to the drain in the bathtub, remember that part, and he goes and he's all freaked out and the water starts pouring and he goes get out of there, N-word, you're gonna drown. It was kind of awesome.
Oh my god.
Anyway, I thought of you the whole time. I just thought, oh, this is one of Brian Ibbett's things. This is what happens to him every time he goes.
I think I would have had a hard time not like discreetly pulling out my phone, like periscoping it or
I should have done that. Now that you say that, why didn't I do that? I totally should have done that. I mean, it was a riot. And by the end of it, they left before the Stingers. So I thought to myself, actually, most people were. I'm like, you dummies, it's a Marvel movie.
You've never seen a Marvel movie?
Yeah, so I'm like, there's going to be like two things. And sure enough, there were two things.
Yeah.
And so we hung around for that, but they left for that. And Kim's like, this is the best part of the movie. I said, why? She goes, because they're not here for this part. So anyway, right. It was great.
Wow.
Yeah, it was great. And man, oh, and he ate popcorn like this.
Of course, yeah. I mean, that just kind of seals the deal, yeah, right? I mean,
It was great. I just thought, I thought of you the entire time, and I'm a little sad that you weren't maybe there to see just what I had witnessed. And I don't know why I can't. I must have just had a good attitude that day. It's my anniversary. I'm feeling good. We just had a lovely dinner. I had shawarma for the first time ever at this Middle Eastern place that was freaking fantastic. It was good. Oh, my gosh. If you haven't had shawarma yet, I'm getting more today, I think. I think Kim's going to go get me some takeout.
Anyway. Oh, no. I've had shawarma. I like shawarma.
So good. And this stuff was super authentic. So we just did all that stuff. We're feeling good. And then we sit down in this movie. And then we get the loudest possible mouth ever. And it's also because you can tell that there's something happening. I didn't feel good about standing up and going, could you please put me quiet? We're trying to, you know, I can't be that guy.
Exactly. There was something, somebody like that in one of the Lord of the Rings or the Hobbit movies that we saw down in Colorado Springs with the Mayus. Who incidentally had their baby. Congratulations to Mayus.
That's great. Little boy, little girl, what did we get there?
New baby boy, Gabe.
Oh, Gabriel. I like that.
Yes.
Anyway.
There was somebody who, you know, was talking and I think saying, you know, like, that would never happen or, oh, that kid, that's impossible.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And then you turn around and look, and it's like, oh,
He's got something. And we're not going to be that. I'm not going to be that guy. And nobody else in the theater was that guy. We were all like, okay, clearly there's something up. It must have been frustrating for everybody there. But because of that, I wasn't going to say anything. And I did say to Kim, I said, we can move. There's plenty of open seats. We can go anywhere we want to go. And she's like, even she felt bad. She's like, well, then it looks like we're too good for
ostracizing
people who are different than us. So we had all those kinds of things going on. But man, anything. It didn't matter. That train fell out into that car. I've never heard him laugh so hard in my life. Just back there going.
That's hilarious.
He just said, man, but jump through the keyhole. Woo! It was great. Anyway.
Awesome.
All right. Hope you guys enjoyed that story. It's time to call Daryl, who at this point is probably just waking up. That guy's been camping all weekend.
That's right. Yes.
He'll probably be glad that we gave him some extra time.
Just waking up, just getting a little shaking the dust out of his head and stuff.
Oh my gosh, camping, dude, I hate it. I'm with him on the camping. In fact, I don't know why you'd go. All right, let's spend some time stumping a Trek nerd. It's brought to you by
The Final Score Podcast. May be gone. Bring it back. No. But The Final Score Minecraft server is still there, thanks to Pseudo Knight. Happy birthday, Pseudo Knight.
Like it. Not a real knight, but pseudo knight.
Pseudo knight.
Daryl, are you there?
You take the him, knight that can't sleep.
Yeah, that's right.
He's the knight that can access the root directory on your computer.
Oh, yeah, the pseudo knight. Very pseudo nice. Knight. I like that. That's pretty good. F-disk that thing. Hey, Daryl, what's going on? What's going on there? Yeah. What are you doing? How you doing?
I'm okay.
You
I'm
still
tired.
You smell like campfire and you haven't taken a dump for 7 days and you know, like, what's going on? What's in your head?
Well, fires weren't allowed there because, well, the forest already burned down in that area.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You guys are like us this year where you can't go near any of that stuff with any kind of fire or fireworks or any of that stuff, right? It's all outlawed right now? Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know what happened this year, but this is the year where Utah had hardly any wildfires and everyone around us had tons of them. And it's usually the other way around. It's usually us and then we blow smoke up to Idaho. But this time it was Idaho, you guys. Didn't Oregon have some stuff, I think?
Yeah.
California always is on fire.
Yeah, we certainly had some of that smoke for sure.
Yeah, and even Colorado had some fires that we didn't have. Like, I don't know what happened here. We just didn't catch on fire this year. Remember that Nerdtacular year, 2012, was it?
Where Eagle Mountain was on fire.
Yeah,
right?
We almost got evacuated at 2 in the morning the night before Nerdtacular. Oh my gosh, I don't want to think about it anymore. It was a terrible time. It was a good day the next day, but anyway, whatever. Daryl, it's good to have you here. It's Stump a Trek Nerd time. You're the Trek Nerd. You come on the show and you answer hard trivia questions about Star Trek. I was talking to my buddy Andrew last night, and he was talking about how much he likes this segment. I didn't know he was even listening to the show for a while. When he told me that, I thought, oh, well, I'll let Daryl know. So, yeah, he's a fan. I'll now present you with one. Are you ready for a question? Oh, I have to do a mashup. Damn it. All right, mashup time. Here you go. This is a thing. Mike put this together. Here you go.
You're just trying to get under my goat.
Horse hockey, horse hockey. Amazing.
With your
song.
Guitar strumming, because choppers are coming. It's all real to me.
Have you ever woken up next to a naked Irishman before?
Oh, let me think. Maybe back in college, possibly.
All
yeah.
right. Once or twice, sure. We've all been there.
Stuff happens. You dabble.
You're still a warrior. I don't believe you're a warrior. You've gone soft with these humans.
That one.
Yes!
Oh, I've just received an important note. Terpster has a small penis.
Whoa, where'd that come from?
Wow.
What was that from?
I don't know.
When did she say that? Because I need to now save that. All right.
Oh,
save.
That. You know what? That was during the panel I was on with Veronica and Terpster about crowdfunding at Nerdtacular, I think.
Oh, I can't wait to use that later when I talk to Terpster today. All right.
This
well,
just in.
Daryl, here's your question. It is a next generation question. The episode Final Mission. Wesley gets accepted into Starfleet Academy. He's told by Captain Gene Luck Pickard to report to him or to them in 2 weeks. Picard also asks Wesley to join him on a mission to settle a dispute with some miners on a planet. What planet are they sent to? Here's your options. A, Darinia 1. B, Milica?
Milica.
Milica 3. Well, that sounds right now that I say it. Milica 3. Pentaris 5 or Viridian 4. Viridian Dynamics. So it's Darinia 1, Milica 3, Pentaris 5, or Viridian 4. Them's your options, Daryl.
There was a Viridian Dynamics. There was some cosplay out in Dragon Con for Viridian. Is it Viridian Dynamics?
I think it's Viridian Dynamics.
Yeah, yeah. From Better Off Ted.
Mm-hmm.
That is the reason to go to Dragon Con.
Yeah,
I mean, panels are great and celebrities are great, but
yeah, no, I agree. Listen, where else are you going to? You know, you're at a place that really values cosplay. That something as obscure as a reference from Better Off Ted, a show
yes.
canceled in its second season and is kind of obscure on Netflix, that gets treatment at a cosplay event. That's just crazy.
That's great. There was a whole conga line of the Jimmy Buffett's carrying margaritas from Jurassic World.
Oh my gosh. That's yeah, you know when you're
there were that many people doing performing or cosplaying as Margarita Guy.
That's crazy.
That there was enough to make a conga line.
Well, Daryl, since you're here and since we're all here and since I'm super excited about this, we're going to do this right here.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
All right. So, check this out. Whoops, I got to grab it. We got from a good friend of the show. His name is... Whoops. Put that down. I've had him on podcasts before. We've done stuff before.
Andy Beach.
I'm sorry. I didn't say his name. Andy Beach, he wrote a book about video processing and video editing and some other stuff that I thought was really cool. I checked out a while back. Really cool guy. Been around forever. I did a Twit episode with him once. I think we were co-hosting on Twit. Andy, you'll have to remind me if that's right. He has this beautiful adopted little baby daughter. Just the nicest guy ever. And he said, hey, I want to send you some stuff. And he sent this. He said, hey, TMS, for those that don't know me, my name is Andy Beach. Works in technology by day. Many hobbies. One of them is cooking and making jams and jellies. I recently started a Kickstarter to extend the jams beyond just a hobby into small business. The project is called Jamily. And the link to Kickstarter is bit.ly/jamly. That's Jammly. So I've been listening to you guys try out foods. Thought you guys would try these out. Blah, blah, blah. Here's what we got to do. So, let's see. Okay, what the hell am I tasting, he says. Wanted to make sure this is interesting to you. I'm skipping ahead here. So he added a sleeve of Ritz crackers, he said. Did you guys
get
that?
I know. Yeah, it's fantastic. Like, he gave us... not just Ritz crackers, but gave us like a little plastic spoon to spoon the jam onto the Ritz crackers.
Yeah, this is a full service food testing is what we're having.
He's already a hero of food testing TMS.
So please, you guys, go check it out. He launched the Kickstarter on 8/27, and they're doing good. bit.ly/jammly. It ends on October 1st. And
Jamly.
We want those people to go check this out. They want to do some additional rewards and all that kind of stuff. I'm super stoked for Andy. You guys should be too. Now, I got a series of letters. You guys got
yes.
these too, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So number one, I guess we're supposed to open that.
No. Don't open it until after we...
Oh, we have to try it first or
we
what?
We have to try it first and we're going to guess what kind of jam it is.
Okay. So Number one is labeled. It's a thing of jam. I'm going to open it up.
It's a little short.
Number one.
Tub of jam.
Yeah. Is that what they're called? Tub of jam?
Oh. No, I don't think it's a jar.
Dang it. This is going to be hard to get off, isn't it?
No, just put your just put your thumb up under the side. Oh my god.
Hold on.
Smells.
Are we going to need can openers?
I'm going to make a terrible
error. No, you just
unscrew
it and then use your thumb to kind of pry up the side of the lid.
It's not working for me.
Ooh, this is really vacuumed.
Yeah, mine's sealed. It's hard. Hold on.
Did you get the outer? Did you get the outer thing off? The outer ring?
Oh, yeah, I got the twisty off. Oh, okay, got it.
Ooh, there's like pine needles in mine.
Yeah, mine too.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that smells weird.
I think it smells awesome.
Ooh, it smells really good, dude. What does it smell like?
Pine needles.
No.
Yeah, there is something.
So
it smells like Christmas.
Yeah. We're about to eat some Christmas. All right. So I'm getting a Ritz cracker out.
Okay. Yeah, those did not make the journey as well.
No,
but,
no. I don't think the USPS didn't care. Oh, shit, they're everywhere. Hold on.
Yeah, it's a little.
That's all right.
I'll make do.
Okay.
Got out a good, solid, single Ritz crack. You have to go down low.
When we scoop this out, are we supposed to scoop the needles too, or
not? No, you're not supposed to eat the needles.
The needles are there for garnish and probably flavor, but that's it.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, so I've just put some schmoo on here.
Okay. Yeah, I've put some schmoo on mine as well.
I'm going to eat it now.
Schmoo!
It is very foresty.
Hmm.
What do you think?
I think it's good.
Yeah, I think it's good too.
I don't know what it is, but it's good.
So that's what we're supposed to do, is try to figure out what it is?
Yeah, cranberry, I'm thinking.
I'm going to say pine cran.
I'm going to say it's something exotic and strange.
Okay.
Like fir tree sap or something.
All right, well, let's find out. Opening envelope number one here.
All right.
It says...
It's very good, though.
Yeah, it is good. You just ate apple rosemary jelly. Now that he says apple, I can taste the apple. And when you say rosemary, okay. I can kind of... That's the smell, isn't it?
Oh, and that's rosemary things, not pine needles.
Right.
Right.
And a little bit of bourbon, he says. This tastes exactly how I wish every apple pie on the planet tastes. It comes out. Oh, now I'm reading the words is funny, how it's changing how I perceive the taste.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm.
It comes out this amazing red due to cooking off the apples with their peel. Mm. And I have made it enough that I can now taste the difference in flavor from one type of apple to another. I try to make it with a mix of Red Delicious and Honey Crisp for a combo or tart. And sweet flavors. Wow, that was really good.
That is fantastic.
Mm. Oh, okay, yeah, I can't wait. This is like a fun little sub contest, too. About
it
guessing.
Is. I'm loving this. Yeah, Jamly people. Go to jamm.ly or bit.ly/Jamly.
Yeah, any of that.
I don't know why I guess pine pitch. What a stupid guess.
Pine pitch.
Brian, listen, you were camping all weekend. You're forgiven.
Yeah, maybe that has something to do with it.
You're forgiven.
Mine tastes like NyQuil.
That's really good. My wife's going to flip when she eats that. That's fantastic.
And his stuff is more directed towards, not towards like putting on a PB&J sandwich, but towards like topping ice cream how did he describe it? He was like...
They're like artesian jellies.
Yes.
Is that even a word? I've made that up, I think.
Part of a dessert, either ice cream topping or layered in a cake.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome layered in a cake.
Yeah, that would be really good in a cake. I would just want to get to the middle of the cake. All right, good job there, Andy. You're the man. We'll try more tomorrow. Daryl, back to your deal here. No, before that, you've got one of these.
Hey.
What's going on in Trek history today?
Oh, it's a big one. It's the very beginning of Trek itself back on this day in 1966. It was a Friday, and at 8:30, people got their taste on NBC of the very first Star Trek episode with the Man Trap.
Wow. That is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And the rest is history. How old would Roddenberry be today if he was still alive? When did he die? How old was he?
What was he? Near 70 or something like that.
Let's see.
He would have been 90-something, I think.
He was, yeah. Oh, here he is. No, not Rod Roddenberry. I don't care about him. I mean, he's a nice guy and all. Gene, here we go. Gene Roddenberry. He died at age 70 of heart failure in 91. So yeah. He would have been deep into his 90s if he was still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway. Oh, and we didn't... Did we talk about Wes Craven dying?
We did. Yeah, we talked about it on the show last week.
I couldn't remember if it was Thursday or not. So, just a quick recommendation. If you like... Even if you don't like Fresh Air, the interview show with Terry Gross on NPR, they did a little retrospective of her past interviews with him. What an articulate, interesting dude he was.
Hmm.
I didn't expect what I heard from him. Like, you think, oh, horror movies, Nightmare on Elm Street and Scream and all that. I don't know what I expected, but he is so articulate and so thoughtful and just very interesting guy to listen to. So I recommend people check that out, either podcast or NPR.org.
Very cool.
All right. What now? Daryl, your question. It's Darinia 1. Milkia. What was it? Milikea? What is it?
Milikea. Milka.
Milika. There you go. Milika 3. It just wasn't coming out. Pentaurus.
Milikea.
Milikea. I want a t-shirt that says that. With a big teat on it. Milikea 3, Pentaurus V, or 5, rather, and Viridian 4. Those are your options. What do you say? Where are you at? What do you think?
Oh, I don't have any clue. So what'd they do on this planet? What was the question?
They went to go rescue some miners. Settle a dispute with miners.
Mm-hmm. And a minor dispute.
Yeah. And I don't. When I say miners, I don't mean people under the age of 18. I mean, like, guys digging out dilithium crystals right. Or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Home Alone was a dumb movie, except for the part with John Candy on it.
Wait.
When did that come out all of a sudden?
Miners.
Oh. Okay.
And we watched it on the way home.
You know, Brian, shag carpet is weird.
That was just, it seemed like such a...
non sequitur.
Out of nowhere. Yeah.
It's all right. I liked it. Don't go changing.
What other thing did we watch? Oh, I don't remember now. Anyway, that's not important.
I agree. Camping isn't for movies. Campy's for being miserable and laying on rocks and wondering where you're going to pee and stuff. That's what that's for.
Yeah.
I hate camping.
Darinia. Well, screw this milk thing. Cross that out.
Screw this milk thing. It hasn't brought any boys to the yard. I want my money back.
I'm just going to say not Viridian 4. Oh, shoot. Maybe it is. Darinia. That sounds so unfamiliar. I'm going to cross Darinia out.
All right.
Okay.
And I'm just going to guess wildly Pentaurus 5, and let's just hope that's a failure of a week.
Well, who knows? I mean, you're living off, the fumes of... hot dogs and s'mores at this point. That's all you've got in your system.
S'mores, yeah.
S'mores are pretty good. As my empty box of s'mores flavored Oreos could attest right now. I eat all those damn things.
Yeah.
All right, let's find if you're right. If you're right, then hey, great. If not, well, then F it. So here you go.
Congratulations.
You got it right.
You're a winner.
They are told to go to Pentaurus 5. However, their shuttle malfunctions, what a shock, and crashes on a desert-like moon of Pentaurus 3. Wesley has to help an injured Picard in this episode. Here is a clip of Picard discussing their plan for survival. Here you go.
I'm fashioning an arrow. If a search party finds the wreckage, they'll know that we've headed for those mountains.
Are you crazy? We're too far away. We'll never make it.
We can't survive in this sun. Where there's mountains, there's shelter.
You've got no right to make the decisions. I'm the captain of this ship.
If you want to get out of this, I suggest you listen to Captain Picard. He's the one who's going to keep us alive.
Thank you, Ensign. That's enough.
Jeez, holy crap. Will Wheaton letting it rip.
We're going to go to Tasha Station after that.
So there you go. If you're interested in more from Daryl, you can find him on the internet at The Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can also find it This Week in Trek, thisweekintrek.com, and The Grumpy Cast. And now Daryl will play a game with us. Go.
Okay. I don't like this one, but it's all I have, so let's do this anyway.
All right.
Trek or Trump?
Trek or Trump. Ooh, perfect.
Yes.
Here you go. I have one for you. Here.
I love my wiener. Nobody loves my wiener like I do.
All right, there you go.
And the quote is, who loves my wiener? No, that's not it. The beauty of me is that I'm very rich.
The beauty of me is that I'm very rich.
This is Ferengi or Trump?
Trek or Trump.
Or Trek just or Trek Trump. Or Trump.
Trek or Trump. That's what all the kids are going to be saying this Halloween.
Yeah, Trek or Trump. Trump. And you give them either, what do you get them, a communicator or a piece of hair?
That's right. What you want. I think that sounds like Trump. Because I think that's him explaining how he can afford to jump into the race and not need, you know, all the backing that the other candidates do.
Ooh, that's interesting. So a more recent quote. Okay, I think Brian's got the right idea here. I'm going to say Trump as well. How'd we do?
Well, if you remember the Grand Negus and how ugly he is, it has nothing to do with this because Trump said it.
Was it recent like we think?
I don't know. Probably not.
Wow, look at all the research you did. All right, there. That's coming.
The beauty of me is that I'm very rich.
Here's another good one.
We need some unpredictability. So I ordered 4,000 television sets. That's a big order. Thank you very much.
Oh, Trump, we love you.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It is the news brought to you by
J.F. Dubow wants to kill you. Whoa. Calm down. Jeez. He doesn't want to kill you. He wants to kill your likeness in his next book. If you pre-order or successfully recommend A God in the Shed on Inkshares anytime before September 30th, you have a chance to have a character named after you gruesomely murdered in the story. The more you recommend, the better your chances. What better way to help a fellow tadpooler than to lay your life on the line? Get more info at jfdubow.com/books.
Just in time for Halloween.
That's right.
Here's another good one.
Miley, get down, get down. You get down. Miley, down, get down.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Good to see Moby still getting work.
Yeah, he's still out there. Still kicking it. Americans. We're two of those.
Yeah.
Apparently we spend more time watching Netflix than we do having sex.
Oh, really? Okay.
The average American spends more time watching TV and movies on Netflix than they do the following things: eating, reading, or having the sex, according to a new study.
Well, it's because they keep putting new movies on Netflix.
Yeah, I guess so. And what are you going to do? They just don't stop. A study conducted by TDG Research found that the average Netflix subscriber spends 90 minutes per day on average on streaming video via Netflix. Extremist compared to the number to the amount of time spent on other activities, and found that
extremist. I get it. Yeah, oh, they're funny.
That's pretty funny. And found that Netflix almost always comes out on top, at least compared to other to its subscribers, who apparently don't spend much time on top. That's pretty good. According to a report, Netflix easily trumps reading as America's favorite pastime. The 90 minutes spent streaming nearly doubles the 49 minutes spent reading. Hmm. Eating comes closer, but at only 70 minutes per day, it still has an important, and still isn't as important to Americans as binge watching Orange Is the New Black. Having sex, meanwhile, logged a measly average of 2 minutes per day. Well, that's not good.
No.
No. I think
2 minutes a day.
Bump that one up, guys. Come on. Let's get with it.
Four if the wife is home.
Captain America, Civil War will not feature the Hulk, Brian.
Oh, really? Nope. No Hulk in Civil War.
And according to Mark Ruffalo, the current Hulk, he says there is a truly significant reason. It's not just that they didn't want to include him or ran out of money or whatever. Ran out of Ruffalo money.
That's right.
The actor told Italian firm site... What? Film. The Italian film, sorry. There's no firm site. Bad Taste. So there's an Italian site called Bad Taste that Marvel decided to cut the big green character from its next ensemble production, Captain America Civil War. Quote, I believe the Hulk would be in the film, but at the end, it was evident they needed to reveal that the Hulk did something very significant and that Marvel wanted to use this in a more upfront manner. My character was inserted into the script, but it was later removed. Who knows? Maybe the Hulk will never return. However, Marvel wants to keep the revelation of what happened a secret because it's something truly significant, Ruffalo said. That was all very confusing, actually.
It was really, yeah, like he's pulling a Johnson. The revelation of what he did.
Yeah.
Something very significant.
Almost like he went down a path and then realized, I got to back out of this, and kind of got more confusing because he was now nervous that he had broken an NDA or something. So,
you know, it seems like they could so easily just use Mark Ruffalo, like just have Dr. Banner in there and not have him turn into the Hulk and just use him as the scientist that he is.
Right. I just got something I should share with you. Do you want to hear this? Look at this. I just got a tweet. Right. Oh, no, excuse me. An email about a tweet.
An email about a tweet. Okay.
A tweet this morning I said on Twitter as a okay, Brian, I'll just say the tweet out. I'll just say the tweet, and then you tell me if you think that I should, someone should be offended by this.
Okay.
The tweet was simply this. At Scott Johnson said, I think there's something wrong with my vagina. That's what I said this morning.
Okay.
It's just, it's a joke. I don't, right. I don't have one, right? I don't have my own. I don't have access. I don't have one that is mine to call my own.
Personally yours, right.
That is
You're
my
not
own.
In possession of a vagina. You rent one every once in a while.
Yeah.
You,
I'm vagina free, well, though, otherwise.
You borrow one. You borrow one.
Don't say rent. Yes. Yeah, then we're in
when,
a whole.
When there's nothing good on Netflix.
Whole other bag of sticks. So I say that on Twitter. Ha ha, whatever, dumb little thing. It just popped into my head this morning. I just got an email someone who's all offended and thinks that it's a horrible sexist thing to say. Why?
Really?
Why would that be sexist? It's just dumb and ridiculous. I'll give you that.
There's such a fine line between sexy and sexist.
Well, yeah, there's nothing sexy about the tweet. That I know. Right. I don't know why that would be sexist. I'm trying to understand it. Can someone explain that to me?
Oh, Having a vagina is a serious matter, Scott Johnson. We don't make fun of vaginas.
I guess so. I wasn't saying anything about women. I just meant that I'm making a ridiculous... You know, if you want to send me an email and say, what you said was dumb, ridiculous, and totally stupid,
right.
Well, then I'll agree with you. That's not a problem. That was dumb and stupid. But, I mean, come on now.
Jeez, people.
Just get a sense of humor. According to
Lighten up, Francis.
Just like Genie says. Get a sense of humor, damn it.
Exactly.
Danny Boyle is filming a Trainspotting sequel. You'd be interested in this because I know you're a big fan of the source material there.
I do like that movie a lot, yeah.
And that movie. So this is interesting. That movie came out in 96. And if this is truly a sequel, I mean, what are we talking about? Jumping ahead in these people's lives to...
20 years?
That seems crazy.
If the actors are coming back, so yeah, it's going to be... You know, where are they now?
Mm-hmm.
They're raising little Trainspotting, the next generation.
Yeah. Weird. Ewan McGregor.
Look who else, that's what it's going to be called. Look who else is Trainspotting.
Look who's Trainspotting now. Right. Ewan McGregor, Johnny Lee Miller, Robert Carlyle, Kevin McKidd, Ewan Brimmer, and Kelly MacDonald are the people from the first one. There's no confirmation that they are coming back, but... It does say, according to the British director on Deadline.com, that all four main actors want to come back and do it. So cool. Now it's just a matter of getting all their schedules together, which is complicated by two of them doing American TV series currently, which is Miller.
Spudboy and Renton. And
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's, I mean, Ewan McGregor is the you know, the standout from there. Like, if he says he's got the time, then you do it.
Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah.
Still
swimming around a toilet looking for that pill.
Oh, gross. That scene. Still to this day, hardest thing to watch in that whole movie.
It's really, yeah, that just puts the whole drug thing in perspective. Maybe Tristan needs to see that movie.
Yeah. Also, you need to be a Jedi master to be able to dive into a toilet like that.
Yes, you do.
Cats, it turns out, don't need their owners. That cat behind you does not need you, Brian. Does not need you at all, according to scientists. Researchers at the University of Lincoln have concluded that cats, unlike dogs, do not need humans to feel protected. Preferring to look after themselves. But before cat lovers start despairing about their aloof house guests, animal behaviorists say they could actually take the finding as a compliment. If cats stick around, that means they really want to be there. Or does it just mean, Brian, could it just mean that you're the one giving it food?
Exactly. Let's see it open the Purina bag on its own. Yeah. Knock yourself out.
Because they'll just try
opening that can
yourself. They'll just move on, you know? Like, there's an interesting twist in The Stand, which I finished a few weeks ago. Fantastic book, and I'm glad a lot of people out there are writing it and saying, I'm reading it now because you recommend it, and I love it, and whatever. I love The Stand. But this huge super flu epidemic thing that killed most of the people and almost all of the dogs, as far as we know, only one dog survived. It doesn't touch cats.
Oh, really? Cats are immune?
Yeah. And there's a bunch of references in the movie about how the cats are just freaking everywhere.
Who's immune? Are you immune? Are you immune? You're immune.
Like, see, she didn't give a shit.
She doesn't.
She's just going,
like, I don't need you.
Later, you're going to feed me. Thanks, human dad.
That's right. Open a bag. Put in a bowl.
Speaking of putting things in a bowl, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Justin Robert Young will join us from his beautiful honeymoon somewhere. And I want to say they went to Jamaica? No.
They did. They did.
Yeah, Jamaica, that's it. Mm-hmm. So there's probably a breakfast of jerk chicken is preparing
Yum on.
Him.
What time is it in Jamaica?
Oh my gosh, it's 4:20 in the afternoon. Get it? 4:20?
What time is it in Jamaica?
In Jamaica, New York, it's 12:02 p.m.
No, that's New York.
Jamaican, New York?
Yeah, that's...
Maybe that's where they went.
No.
I doubt it.
Let's go to Jamaican, New York for our honeymoon. It's a lot cheaper.
No, see, I liked my joke about 420. Come on, chat room. That was funny.
Okay, yes, that was good. That
you
was
good. Get it? All right, guys, let me break in here real quick and talk about our friends at squarespace.com, helping you make websites so much easier than it used to be. I don't know if you guys remember how hard it used to be. It used to be rough. You either had to pay somebody a ton of money or you had to figure out how to do it yourself. Become a programmer. Ugh. It's a lot of work, a lot of pain. Turns out for nothing in the age where Squarespace exists. Go to Squarespace right now. Check it out for free. All the tools you need to sell stuff, to make a beautiful blog, wonderful templates, mobile designs, all of it. All of it is amazing. And you can make it so simply without any of those skills. I mean, you may be skilled, but you don't have to have all those hard skills. It'll still look like a really professional website and will be. It's standards compliant, all that stuff. I want you guys to try it out absolutely for free. It doesn't cost you a dime. You just go try it. If you decide to stay, then you use this code. It's morning. That's just the word morning. You use that at checkout, you save 10% on your order. How simple is that? That's squarespace.com and the code MORNING.
It's always 420 in Jamaica.
So we'll come back for that in a minute. Before that, though, Brian brought some music and we're going to play it now.
Yes, this one would have aired Thursday night had I not been circling Atlanta when we were trying to do a show for TMS.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that, everyone.
Yes. Greetings, Cal. We had that Wi-Fi. I should have just done it from the plane. What was I thinking?
That would have been cool.
That would have been perfect.
Yeah.
Greetings, Calvin and Hobbs. I wanted to ask that you play our wedding song for my wife, Jamie. We've been married for almost 9 years. And while this request isn't for our anniversary, I'm asking that you play it because she has done such a wonderful job of honoring our wedding vows, namely the in sickness and in health part. I recently ruptured some ligaments and fractured a metatarsal in my foot. Mm-hmm. And she has been wonderful at taking care of me, even if I am a horrible patient and don't like to listen to the doctor's orders of sitting around, not doing anything, and no weight bearing. This isn't the first time she's been asked to fulfill that part of our vows either. I spent a few months as a patient at Walter Reed Army Medical Center in 2008 after being blown up in Iraq. Whoa. Thank you, Jamie, for always being there for me and for being my better half. I love you, beautiful.
Nice.
Signed, Mickey. Holy cow. Well, Mickey, first of all, thank you for your service, man. And holy cow. I don't think I know anyone who's gotten blown up in Iraq. So
no. I have a cousin who had his eye taken out in Iraq. All these guys, I don't know how they do it.
Jeez. Yeah. So he wanted a Bon Jovi cover. The original song he wanted, I don't have any covers of, which is You Had Me at Hello. I'm sorry, You Had Me from Hello. But he says, how about You Give Love a Bad Name as an alternate? Mm. And I've got those. I've got tons of those. How about one we haven't played before? This one performed by Skiff Dank. This is a ska version of You Give Love a Bad Name, performed for the album Metallica, which came out in 2000. Here is Skiff Dank.
Can't break.
high school boys and girls are having a hop at the local soda fountain. Innocently, they dance. Innocent of a new and deadly menace lurking behind closed doors. Marijuana, the burning weed with its roots in hell.
All right, you're pissing the shit off of me. Stop tagging things in my thing.
This is the Morning Stream. Brian, Scott never told you what happened to your father.
All right, we're back. We are back. We are here, we're back.
I guess
Jamaica's like, it's like noon there or something. So, it's not even that early.
It's noon? So it's, that's where it was Jamaica and New York was noon. Are they the same? Are they in Eastern time zone?
I thought they... Well, now I'm not sure. Let's see. What time? Let's find out from...
Siri doesn't know.
Let's see if Google Now works. Hold on. Okay, Google. What time is it in Jamaica right now?
The time in Jamaica is 11:08 a.m.
Oh, okay. So it's Central time. Oh, no, that's still Eastern. That is Eastern time. Okay, well, there you
go. No, that'd be Central, because it's 10:08 here, and the only time zone that matters, so they're only 1 hour ahead of us.
Wait a minute. You're totally right. This says Eastern, but you're right.
Oh, you know why? Because no daylight savings time in Jamaica.
Oh, those guys
are like Arizona.
Yeah, they're like Arizona. Nobody wants to be like Arizona. Nobody trusts Nathan Arizona. How's that work? I don't even know. All right, let's get Justin in here. I don't know what I'm talking about. He's showing his yellow, but that doesn't mean anything.
He's yellow.
It could be fine. It could be all good. Ring him up. Wake him up. He's at some... There's a photo of him on Twitter at some sort of Rastafarian...
At a shop, yeah.
Shop, getting a rainbow-colored Ziggy Marley hat-looking thing. And he's wearing a Nerdtacular 2014 shirt. So he's clearly drunk. And he's not answering. That's fantastic news. Now I see something. Hold on, happy.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
All the way from Jerk Chicken, Jamaica.
Jamaica, New York.
Yeah, Southside Jamaica, Queens.
What up, yo? We chat room says that Jamaica, New York has nothing for anyone, that there's nothing there that matters. Is that true? Have you been there?
That's where JFK is, right?
No. Is it?
I think so.
In Jamaica, New York?
Yeah. Jamaica, Queens.
Oh, I had no idea. All right, well, there's a major airport.
Also, where rapper The 50 Cent hails from.
Oh, The 50 Cent.
The 50 Cent, yeah. How's he? What is The 50 Cent up to these days? I haven't heard much from The 50 Cent.
He's bankrupt.
I believe he's declaring the bankruptcy.
That's wow. Right. He doesn't have two bits to rub together.
He should.
No, he actually, it's kind of an interesting situation. He got into the rapper beef with Rick Ross, Miami rapper, in which he sought to publicly embarrass him in many fun and interesting ways, including, you can Google Rick Ross, who, of course, you know, is a gangster rapper and talks about, you know, selling drugs and, you know, shooting police, graduated as a prison guard. And 50 Cent found an amazing photo of him in a cop's uniform, enthusiastically shaking the hand of a portly white woman. And it is with his degree in hand. But part of that campaign was releasing a sex tape with Rick Ross's ex-baby mama, maybe?
Ooh.
Wow.
Rick Ross took none too kindly to that, wound up reconciling with the woman, sued 50 Cent, won, and so now, as they are processing damages, 50's like, oh, by the way, LOL, I just went bankrupt.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. You know, I like a good rapper fight because it reminds me of wrestling. And except it seems more real, I guess, in a way.
It probably is more real.
Yeah, I assume so.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know. I think the problem is that, you know, it was all too real in the mid-90s when people were, like, dying.
Right, yeah.
You know, now, I don't know. It seems like, I don't think that they were doing that to sell records. You know, usually when rappers fight with each other when they both have records out, You know, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, well then
publicity.
Yeah. Yeah. And
listen, like, Eazy-E, I'm coming for you in the ring.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly that.
Hey, you escaped the crud. That's good, because you got married, and that's important that you're not sick during.
Yes. You want to know what? I don't know whether or not I did, because I felt a little sick, but I'm gonna try and fix it by drinking as much rum as possible, because that cures sickness.
Alcohol kills germs. It's totally true.
It's the rumor I've heard.
Science.
Congratulations, by the way, on the nuptials. I'm glad that now that we're on the other side of it, it's easy to look back and go, well, yeah, of course, he's married. But a lot of stuff leading up to that. Sounds like an incredible party at the time, yesterday or Saturday. I missed the live stream. I was in a car. I was sad.
Don't worry. Yeah. There will be there's raw live feed that people were able to watch. That's up now, thanks to the amazing Todd from Alpha Geek Radio. People from around the world were able to watch it. The people that weren't in a car when it was happening, of course. And then we recorded everything, and we're gonna do like another actual like edited together three camera shoot version of the video. So
of the
ceremony. And I do need to give you something that we wanted to keep secret until the ceremony, but I wanted to thank you very, very much for providing the voice of God. Well, in the middle of the ceremony.
Fantastic. I can't. Everybody keeps telling me how perfect it went off. Like Tom sends me a text and says, dude, your God part was great. Then same thing with Ibbot here. I like the first thing out of Ibbot's mouth, and I'm like, really? Yeah. I mean, I had fun making it, but I
had no idea. Even when we were listening to it in the rehearsal, I hadn't picked up on the fact that it was Scott until hearing it the way I'm like, oh my God, that's Scott. Because it was playing kind of quietly at the rehearsal when we were just trying to get through and figure out everybody's
part. Yeah,
sure. No, I'm glad that worked out. In fact, I'm really glad seeing that I couldn't be there, and I just was so sad to not be able to witness it. To hear that bit worked well, and however it worked, I'm stoked. And I can't wait to hear it so I can actually see it.
No, I actually got to send it to you, and I'll do that. I'll do that. Actually, no, you want to know what? We could probably do that now, and maybe if I could get it to you, you could probably play it.
Yeah, I could play it. People could hear it. Just do a little time stamper or something on there.
Oh, crazy. Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Look at us on the internet, using the internet to do things.
Let me try and find a thing. But here, come up with some other topics.
But happiness ensues, everybody. Ashley doing well, I assume.
Oh, yeah. No, Ashley is just on.
Nope.
Oh.
9 that this thing is over because can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good. You cut out for a sec, but you're fine.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I had to go to the safe to get the computer out.
No worries. When in Jamaica, it's, put everything in the damn safe, is what I say.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. People are, it's very, very nice here. Here's the thing. So we're at Sandals.
Yeah.
Sandals Ochi Rios.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like this entire thing, it's beautiful, it's gorgeous. Obviously, Jamaica is paradise, right?
Yeah, right.
But the Sandals Resort is very much, I think it was like, it is kind of a different era. And like, it's hard to place, but it certainly feels like what, people who are 45 and up, like, looked at in a magazine when they were 18 and said, oh, this is what I want in Jamaica.
Does it feel like it's a sanitized version of Jamaica, like a cut off, separated from the mainland? Here's what.
Well,
yeah.
Yes. And that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
obviously, like, it's not, nice to, I mean, there's tremendous poverty in Jamaica. They make sure as they drive you through the, some of the poverty surrounding the resort, when you log in, when you sign in, they're like, oh yeah, by the way, would you like to make a donation to assuage your guilt? You know what goes along well with rum runners and white privilege? $50 indulgence. That'll make you feel like you're not doing anything wrong.
Yeah, I wondered about that. It's kind of true across the board. It happened in China when I went to the super upscale golf club, and everything around it was just utter horrible poverty. It happens in South America and anywhere down there where you go to any resort towns, Mexico. It's like right there is this amazing, beautiful thing. And then all surrounding it is like just abject poverty. It's so weird to me.
None of that yeah. Stuff.
You know,
I mean, at the same time, it's like it just shows you how much we want to do good, right?
Yeah.
Like that we feel bad about it. But at the same time, like, man, what are you going to do? Right. Like,
yeah, you can't come solve it in a weekend. I can tell you that much.
Can't fix all the world's problems. Let's inject some money into their tourism and hopefully that.
Yeah. Do your bit. Helps. Drink a lot of rum. And is everything, I'm assuming that like that safe you just got into, that it was 4 to the left, 2 to the right, 0 to the left again, or the room number is 420. No, like what's going on with the plot?
Yeah, it's YOLO swag 420 is the, that's the combination.
I mean, my stereotype of Jamaica is that everywhere you go, the smell of marijuana is everywhere. But that's probably not true at all.
Okay, so fun story. Number one, pot's technically illegal in Jamaica.
Okay.
It is very much look the other way at these resorts. And if you take the bus to... by the way, I check your email.
All right.
Because I just sent the clip to you.
All right.
If you take the bus to one of the resorts, they stop at places where they're like, oh, looks like we got to refuel right next to a big bunch of people who are selling pot. As we came in on a plane and we were, the guy, very, very nice, is greeting us and showing us around the place and is like, hey, so what to do? We're like, oh man, we like to party. We're going to have a good time. We're going to relax. He's like, oh, partying, huh? How do you like to party? Like,
what? In what ways? What? What substances do you enjoy during your party?
We're like, oh, you know, we're just probably gonna drink a bunch and fall asleep, and you know, maybe take a poop. Like, you know, it's gonna be a, you know,
nobody
gonna
wants party. To say it first, right? It's like we're gonna drink a bunch, fall asleep, and take a
poop. Amazing.
I knew what he was saying. I didn't. We didn't want pot, so right. Like, I was. I don't know, like. That would have been weird if I just would have said, we don't want pot, okay? Like, that would have been a little weird.
Right. Back off.
Yeah.
Wow. That's great. Well, you never know what to expect. Hey, I got a file from you. I'm going to play this.
Okay.
This is supposedly the...
So this is in the wedding.
Yeah.
This is... let's go ahead and throw it to a clip.
All right. We'll throw it to a clip, everybody.
All right. So this is in the wedding.
Yeah.
We have just been pronounced man and wife.
Uh-huh.
And now... you know, everybody holds their breath as we go in for our first kiss.
All right. And I'm hoping this is like, was it loud to them? Could they just hear?
It was very loud. Okay. And also what you will see in the video is it starts off very, very tasteful and then gets like weird and raunchy. And I'm like, we're like, yeah, there's tongues all over the place. And I'm like, you know, it gets... intent. The kiss gets increasingly intense, and that's what God is reacting to.
All right, because, yeah, this is all sticking to script as far as I remember it.
Yes,
so here we go.
Exactly.
I'm going to play it right here. Let's check it out.
So, I typed a text to a girl I used to see saying that I chose this cutie pie with whom I want to be, and I apologize if this message
and
gets low, down.
And lo, it came to pass. Justin and Ashley began their union with a kiss. The gathered crowd clapped as the couple laid a gentle, tasteful kiss, which would set the tone of their temperate union. Yep, tasteful and modest. That's how you describe it.
All right, knock it off.
Anyhow,
it's my knock it off
the
voice.
Crowd clapped because that's what you do at weddings. But don't go anywhere. It's time for the reception. This is God signing out.
Oh, that's amazing.
So good.
Dude, that's great. I'm just stoked for you guys. That's awesome. And you know what I like about it the most is people,
what?
it's so easy for people to get married the way that their relatives think they should get married.
Right.
And I see it happen all the time. Like, some of my best friends when I was growing up are like, yeah, when I get married, we're going to do this crazy idea and get married underwater or, you know, whatever their thing is. And then they get there and it's like, no, the mothers and the mothers-in-laws all made a sort of joint coercion to make it so everybody did this very traditional, boring thing. And you guys just busted through that and decided to go banana cakes, and I think that is awesome. So
well, you know, here's the reason. It's that Ashley and I met via the internet and this community and what we've kind of built, and it has only gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, if we are looking to please our family, we are looking to please everybody that came out, you know, everybody that was there for us. And you know, it means a lot to us that people wanted to be a part of it, because we very much wanted them to be a part of it. And, you know, that's why we wanted to do something that was this special. And you know, it's the reason why I'm here on my honeymoon talking to you guys, because, you know, this is something that we really, really care about. And we thank everybody who came out and everybody for watching. You know, it's something that is on a very deep level. And very often, luckily, we have all had projects that have done very, very well because of support. But, you know, this is just one of those moments where we're very, very excited to share it with
him. Yeah, and one day, I'm telling you, one day, this is the voice you're going to hear. Grandpa Jury, tell us again about the time you got married at that weird convention. Like, you're going to have this story to tell. It's going to be great.
This is going to be the new thing. Yeah. Where you're just like, now you're just going to be like, it's going to be Justin's having kids references from Scott in the same way that, you know, it used to get my name wrong. Like, this is the new bit. Like,
let me say
what you
this.
Need to do, Jerry, is ask him when Taylor's planning on having kids and turn the whole grandpa thing back around.
Yeah, I don't want to think about that. I don't want to think about that.
I'll point the matlock back at you, Johnson.
He still wants to... exactly. Because, by the way, I'm gonna take if I'm betting on who's giving birth first.
Right.
That's probably a fair bet. He has to finish medical school, or not medical school, but part of it before they even consider it. So it's still a ways off. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I do have this tendency to get excited about the family unit that will happen at some point out of this deal. Even if that family unit ends up being you and her and a couple of dogs, I'm just stoked about that. I don't know what it is. I'm just stoked about the commitment and like the longevity of it. Having just hit 23 years the other day with Kim, which is insane that that's even a thing I can say out loud. I can't even believe that even happened. But I just get stoked for friends that are, you know, when you see like true love that's happening. And this is me getting sappy, chat room. Mark off your damn bingo card, you bastards. but you know what I'm saying? Like, that kind of stuff, I get jazzed about it because I just know how great it is. And I don't know. So I get excited and I think about just little furry juries. That's all. Little juries running around.
You know, it's to me, a lot of what we do podcasting wise, we've all built a bit of a brand on being open and honest and having fun. And that's what, you know, I found in Ashley. And I think that's kind of why naturally everything flows together. And, you know, I'm finally, you know, listen, finally, you know, a Mormon is excited about family values and an expanding family unit. Now I've seen everything.
What a shock. What a mind-blowing moment this is.
Wow. It's like, oh, my God. It's like, oh, geez. For the cover song today, I can't believe you found a ska band covering something. That's insane.
Covering a Bon Jovi song even. Yeah.
I can't believe the team that had an ex-writer from David Letterman won a contest involving trivia.
Oh, now you're trying to ruin things. You're just trying to start shit.
Why go there?
Oh, come on.
Digging up old skeletons.
I know. You can't have it just be a beautiful, sappy moment. Yeah, now I got a rage.
Yeah, now it's bad. Now everyone's mad. I'm stoked for you. How long do you get to gallivant in the land of pot?
We're in Ochi Rios for another couple days, and then we're gonna go to Montego Bay, both Sandals Resorts, and then we come back home to Oakland. And I am very, very, very excited about it. You know, I don't know. I don't in general do well with vacations. Yeah. I'm not a vacation guy.
Me either. I can't sit still. It's just like, ugh, I gotta do something. I hate it.
I am very, although like, it's just, it is hard to not just want to sit by the beach and drink rum until I fall asleep though, which is very nice. I might not like vacations, but I do like doing all three of those things.
And, right.
I will be excited to do that.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Well, when you get back, I do have a very serious question about Sandals, the resort itself. We'll do this next week, but I want to get to the bottom of why it has that stupid name. Now, I know it's going to have some locally, culturally, something, something. Sandals mean something in some language,
well,
and I'm just
a
dumb
sandals.
Shit.
You walk around, you know, you're not walking around in shoes. You're casual. You're walking around
it's
on
just,
sandals.
It's just beach iconography, I assume, is the
you
name.
Probably, yeah, we could probably answer this question in like 8 seconds, Scott.
It
I don't
seems
think it's
so stupid to me, though. It's like, if that's the case, let's say that's why. Yeah. Well, then what do you... But let's call the resort, okay, the one in France, we're going to call it Shoes. Like, what are we doing? It's dumb. Sandals. That's a dumb name, isn't it?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, they're all beach resorts. Like, because, like, the other, like, they just bought another set of resorts called Beaches. So, like, you know, they just went right on the nose, right? There wasn't right. even any kind of
resort.
Clever, yeah. It wasn't like, you know, beer koozies or something, you know. It's just
towels.
Things that you like, things that you're happy to see. When you just hear the name, it is evocative of an experience,
okay.
I assume.
All right.
Although I don't think it's local. I think that they're American and they just realized that there was real estate in Jamaica that was very cheap and they decided to have an idea to be like, hey, look.
That's a good point.
Thanks for not going to Hedonism 5 or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, I don't. I mean, that talk about 90s, like that was, you know, you grow up in South Florida and it's just like, you know, you just live in fear of, you know, your mom's friend talking about her trip to hedonism. And, you know, just as you start to wrap your head around what the point of that resort is, you're just like, yeah, it's enough to give you an innie boner just thinking That's about right. her being passed around by four other bikers. Like, you know.
Gosh, dang it. Well, all right. When you're. Enjoy your time tonight when you go to restaurant and buy drink. All right. And
no,
then
it is. It's so funny. They have. All right. So they have all these things and like they have all different types of restaurants because you realize the people that come to Sandals are just boring. And they're like, oh, my God. Thankfully, we've made it to Jamaica. Now let's eat a hibachi. You know, like they have like right next to our hotel. They have like an on resort. Hibachi restaurant.
Wow.
They've got an Italian restaurant, a French restaurant, and then like there's one, they have one Jerk Shack, which is the funniest thing to say.
Jerk Shack, baby, that's where it's at, is what I like to say.
Yeah. It's, you know, you want to see how they rust that tin roof.
Oh, that's hilarious. Well, I hope it's a good one. I hope you have a great time and do just have a blast. And we're super stoked for you guys. Congratulations.
Will do. There is one thing that I'm just now remembering. If you did not get in on the Contender Kickstarter,
yeah.
you should pre-order now because I will pretty much guarantee that by the end of the week or so, we're going to put in our order for stuff, which means we're no longer going to have the politically incorrect decks for pre-sale. Like that kind of goes into the Disney vault as it doesn't become cost effective for us past the first print run. So right now that's available for pre-order. Go ahead and check that out. Other than that, I'm already drunk. So I'll see you guys later.
Yeah, rum it up. Awesome t-shirt today and that photo. Stay out of trouble. We'll talk to you soon.
Love you, brother.
Bye. I cut him off.
Oh. Son of a bitch.
I know. What was I thinking? Brian, I brought some emails to read. I'm going to read you a couple if you're up for it.
Okay. I'll tuck in for a little. I'll get read too. Let me pull up a blanket here. And
somebody named Scent from Glade Air Freshener.
Okay.
C-E-N-T, like 50 Cent, sent a email. It says this, FYI. First scene being consumed by the second doctor. It's talking about these jelly babies.
Oh, the jelly babies. Yes.
They became most associated with Tom Baker's fourth doctor, who had a predilection for offering them to strangers in order to defuse tense situations. Mm. The fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, 11th, and 12th doctors also ordered them up in different episodes, or offered them up in different episodes. The doctor's nemesis, the master in the sound of drums, offers them to his wife. All available via the wiki. So,
well, all right. Thank you, Scent.
Yep. That's a guy who really wanted to clear us up on jelly babies and Doctor Who.
That information has been filed away for later use.
Later on, I will whip it out at a party and shock them. Dear Strawberry and Basil Nut, says Tom Nakow. Nakow?
Baseball nut, but all right.
What did I write?
Basil Nut is
Basil
what
Nut? Said. Oh, basil nut. How did I get that out of baseball
I don't
nut?
Know. I don't know.
Sounds kind of good, though, right? Basil
it
Nut?
It does. Basil Nut. Mm.
I am listening to episode 884, where you talk about ice cream that melts slowly because they add some natural enzymes. Scott, you said it is, quote, a natural occurring protein, so maybe it's fine, unquote. I'm going to get in trouble. All right. It's really dumb that people worry about whether an ingredient is natural. Poop is natural. That doesn't mean I'm okay having it in my food. Cooking meat with fire isn't natural. What animal does this? None of them is the answer. Right. That doesn't mean that we think we should eat raw meat, unless it's sushi. Definitely eat raw sushi. Love the Maguro, though. Tom Nakao. He's the one in Tokyo, isn't he? I think.
Probably. I didn't meet Tom Nakao, but...
Okay, I mean Nakao. That might be right. Anyway, I think he might be over there. But anyway, the point is, he's right. And I'm totally... For me to say, so maybe it's fine,
right,
is kind of a...
There's a lot of things, yeah.
Yeah, I shouldn't say that. That's a
naturally occurring... Don't put any of that natural occurring stuff, if you know what I mean.
Brian, this protein shake has some cat shit in it. It's natural.
Naturally occurring.
So go ahead and drink it. It's great. Maybe it's okay.
Aaron wrote in, finally. I mean, not finally Aaron wrote in, but finally we have an email from Aaron. Meaning our last email is from Aaron. Dear Scott and Brian, I'm sitting in a Rubio's. I like Rubio's a lot. Do you go to Rubio's?
Sure. Yeah. Oh, we do like Rubio's. Yeah, we have them here.
Yeah, right. I like them a lot. They're great. I'm sitting in a Rubio's. Salsas. Yeah, it's great. And they're not, I like that they feel like there's only one and they're really focused on the food and it doesn't feel like a chain, is I guess what I'm saying.
It totally does. And like I said, I mean, they've got a salsa bar where you can like dish out as much salsa as you want. You can, you know, smother a burrito in the...
Yeah.
Tomatillo cilantro. Oh,
there you go.
Making me hungry now, man.
I'm kind of hungry. Maybe I'll go to Rubio's today.
There you go.
Take my wife to lunch. I'm in the mood. Anyway, I'm sitting at a Rubio's having lunch, and Scott is telling his bee story. Laughing so hard, the people around me are looking at me funny. For goodness sake, I almost fell out of my chair. Wow, Aaron. I wanted to give an update to the bee story.
Sure.
So for those who missed it, I grabbed a leaf. It looked like a dried up leaf on a tree, which I have a habit of doing while I'm out jogging. And I grab it and I crunch it in my hands and then sprinkle it on the dog or in the air, just like fairy dust. Okay? That's the deal. Right. I grabbed one. There was a bee in it. It went, it scared me really bad. And I screamed and I ran.
And ran and threw the dog, like basically let go of the dog's leash. Yeah.
And the leash chased
her. With the movement of a save yourself.
Yeah, you're on your own. Exactly. So
I will remember you.
I went jogging this morning and I grabbed a leaf and I crunched it and I did it because I wanted to face the fear that there could be another bee in there and there wasn't and it was fine. Now I think I'm good again. So anyway, my update. Yeah. Thank you, Aaron. I'm glad that story landed on you well. If you'd like to send your emails in and comment about whatever the hell you want to, you can. themorningstream@gmail.com is the email address. Our website is frogpants.com/TMS. All things sprout from there. 801-471-0462 is our voicemail line. You can find us on Twitter, @Coverville for Brian, @ScottJohnson for me, and @MorningStream for the show. Our subreddit is hoppinfrogpants.reddit.com. Go check that out. And as always, big thanks to everybody who supports us on Patreon. This show would not continue in the form it's continuing in without it. It is over at patreon.com/TMS. Consider giving just a little if you value this show. And if you don't, well... Yeah, keep listening anyway. We still like
it. Yeah, of course. We'll still support you, but hey, every little bit helps. 10 cents. Give us 10 cents a show or something or
anything.
Month.
Whatever.
Yeah.
We'll take it. Brian, you are a venerable podcaster of some note. You've been around forever doing this like is longer than me. Officially,
well,
anyway, as a podcast.
Yeah, with the term podcasting, yes, but you were putting...
I was putting out stuff.
Recordings on MP3s on...
Sure. But you jumped on the RSS thing about 8 months before I did.
Sure, okay.
And... So I value your opinion on this. Do you think that the term subscription or subscribe is bad for podcasting? Because I think it's bad. And here's why. I know this is a long time into it. We're 10 years in. You know, podcasting's back. Thanks, Serial, whatever.
Yeah.
But when you say to somebody, go and subscribe, I was talking to some people yesterday that just aren't as savvy and into it. So they don't know that that means, like, literally it's a technical term for getting a RSS feed subscribed
right.
to. That's why we say it. They think it sounds like it's going to cost them money.
Yeah, it does. It's funny because there's a bigger hurdle that you need to get over to understand podcasts that it's at that point, after you get over that first hurdle, that you can understand subscribe. But hearing subscribe at the beginning sounds like, oh, I got to pay and then they're going to just deliver these shows to me in the mail or how is it going to happen?
Yeah.
So
I feel like I want to come up with a new name. I'm not talking about like, you know, trying to get everyone to say Netcast, but... I want to have a different kind of... I just hate it.
Netscription.
Oh, shit. That's terrible. How about
descriptions you love from people who send you wieners?
Drobo here. So maybe we'll think on this, or maybe chat room will put it in your hands. What's a new word to replace subscriptions so people understand that we're talking about getting an awesome rad thing that is absolutely free and they don't have to go try to pay for the thing?
Yeah.
What is that? What is that word?
I'm a big fan of the portmanteau. So free-scription.
Free-scription's not bad. Yeah, free-scription. I like that.
That's right. We'll free-scribe the show to you. Take one episode of TMS every day, except on Thursdays when you'll take two, and that is our free-scription.
There you go. I like it. We'll call it an RX. Isn't that what those are called?
It's an RXX feed. Perfect.
I like it. Sounds porny. All right, that's it for the show. Thanks all who listened at home and abroad and live. We appreciate all of you for listening to the show. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new one. It's Wednesday. That means Tom, Veronica, or not, I keep saying Veronica, Tom, Nicole.
That's right.
And
we don't know our theme for
we have no idea. She hasn't said
recommendals.
Well, now that the thing's in the rear view, the Dragon Con. She's probably relieved because her work is done and now she can focus on our theme is. So we'll do that. We'll figure that out before tomorrow. Anyway, so join us then. Brian, I guess that's it. Let's get out of here. What do you got for us here for music?
I have a request going out to Bob. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Bob says, hi, Ska and Baroque. September 3rd is my 15th wedding anniversary to my lovely bride, Kristen. She, being a huge fan of Def Leppard, I hope you could play her a tune. I want her to know just how much I love her, and I think this will do the trick, along with flowers and a big gift. Oh. Doves and snow globes, Bob.
Nice.
Very good. So any cover by Def Leppard? Well, this is an easy one, because Def Leppard put out a great cover album in 2006 called Yeah! With an exclamation point. Right. Yeah! That's how you say it. Right. And we played a couple tracks from, at least on Coverville, I know I have. Haven't played this one, though. And this is a cover of a song that gets attributed to Rod Stewart, even though it was recorded when he was with the band Faces. Faces was the band that he left to go solo. This is Stay With Me. It's a cover by Def Leppard from their album, Yeah!
My mom used to call him Def Leppard. So there you go.
Death Leopard.
Death Leopard. Scott.
Death to the Leopard.
I want to get you that new Death Leopard album for your birthday. I'd say, all right, Mom, give me the Death Leopard. Anyway, here it is. Let's play it now. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for being here. We'll see you then. part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
I have decided in 2020 to run for president.
Oh, President Kanye West.